Chav Dalet Amid Bey is the Mishnah. Okay, they're still making the coffee. The Mishnah says like this. There's a machlekes in the Rishonim what the definition of this Mishnah means, but we'll learn it both ways. We're speaking about obviously Chol HaMoed, and therefore the previous Mishnah was saying what you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed with the laws of mourning, if Yom Tov is pushed off, you know, if Yom Tov pushes off Shiva, Shabbos, or Shani Yom Kippur, all that. Now it says in Kodin, you don't tear Kriya, and simply we're going to learn the Mishnah, and Chol HaMoed is talking about. You don't tear Kriya, you don't do bearing the shoulders. Here it doesn't mean chalitza. Chalitza means he used to take off the clothes from the shoulder and walk behind the coffin. That's what they used to do in the olden times. It's not done today, but that's what they used to do. And you don't serve the mourner's meal. Only the exact relatives of the deceased. Meaning as follows. There's a din that when a family comes back from the funeral, the first meal, they're not allowed to eat their own meal. Somebody has to give it to them. Somebody has to give them the meal. So it says, where do we learn this out from? We learn it out from by Yecheskel. It says over there, you should eat your own meal, which means everybody else shouldn't eat their own meal. So from there we learn out that a person needs to get the first meal from somebody else. Okay? So the Moshe, there's a din. Do you do it on Rosh Chodesh? Do you do it on Shabbos? Do you do it on... So here the Mishnah says, you don't tear Kriya and Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says, you don't bare your shoulders on Chol HaMoed. Ve'mevadin, you don't serve the mourner's meal to any mourner on Chol HaMoed. Ela krevish shel meis, only the relatives of the deceased. Meaning the seven relatives that you have to mourn for. Father, son, daughter, you know, brother, sister, and all those. But in the old times, they used to do it for a lot of mourners. Anybody that was in the mood of mourning would mourn. And therefore, they would have to do it. Ve'mevarin ela mitav zekufa. Nor do we serve the mourner's meal except on an upright bed. Meaning like this, we learned that you have to overturn the bed, you know, during the time of Shiva. But over here, that he sits in an upright bed during the meal. That means even the relatives that do have the Suddhas of it all, but still they do it in an upright bed because it's still Yom Tov. That's one way of learning the Mishnah. Another way of learning the Mishnah, because the Rishonim write, even relatives don't have a Suddhas of it all on Chol HaMoed. Even relatives don't have this first meal. So how can the Mishnah speak about relatives having the first meal? So other Rishonim learn that the meaning of the Gemara over here is, generally speaking, who is allowed to tear Kriya? Only a relative. Otherwise, remember we learned it's a question of ruining the garments and baltashes and all the other forbidden things. So this is the simple meaning of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara asks the question, Afilu Chacham, does this apply that even if a Talmid Chacham died, top of Chofei Amid Aleph now, even if a Chacham dies, because the Mishnah says, clearly, only to the relatives that you have to mourn for. Right now, if a Chacham dies, there's technically no obligation on other people to mourn. Okay? So the Gemara says, Afilo Chacham, even a Chacham, you don't do these things. V'atanya, but we learned in a Braise, Chacham Shemeis, a Chacham who dies, Hakol Krev, everybody's a relative. So the Mishnah seems to imply that only biological relatives you could do these things for. But the Braise says that a Chacham that dies, everybody's a relative. So everybody should lechayda be tearing kriya. So the Gemara says, Hakol krevav salka daitach. What do you think? The Braise means that everybody's a relative. The Braise says a funny expression: Chacham shames, hakol krevav. Everybody is his relative. They're not his relatives. So the Gemara answers, this is like parenthetical. So the Gemara says what it means is hakol krevav. Everybody's like a relative. Okay, but this was like a question in the middle of the statement. Then the Braise continues, Hakel Kerlin Olav, everybody rents their garments over him. Hakel Choltanov, everybody bears his shoulders. Vahakel Marvin Olav Berachov, and everybody gets fed the mourner's meal in the street over him. Meaning, if that's the case, how could our Mishnah seemingly negate the death of a Chacham? The Gemara is going to answer that you're right, if it would be a Chacham, everybody's his relative. The Gemara says, what is the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is speaking when the deceased is lav chacham. If he's not a chacham, so then the Braisa says only the relatives have to tear kriyam. The Gemara thought that the Mishnah is speaking even by scholars. So the Gemara asked, but everybody is a relative of a scholar, like a relative of a scholar. So the Gemara answered, no, it doesn't mean everybody's relative of a scholar. It means the Mishnah is speaking by not a scholar. But you're right, if a scholar would die chol hamoed, everybody would tear the clothing and everybody would bare their shoulders, and that's just like a relative.
Whoever learned with them, or just everybody
now? One second. We're going to see. We'll see in a minute. Simply, like it says, this is a sage who is able to respond to halacha queries in any area of Talmudic law. That's what a chacham means. We'll soon see a story in the Gemara that they didn't tear kriya, and they said to him, why didn't they tear kriya? So we never learned anything from him. We'll see in a second. But then the Braisa Gemara asks, but it's not true. The Adam kosher who, but if he's an Adam kosher, meaning not a scholar, but he's just a religious person, yeah? Hakam Machayev Lekar, everybody has to tear Kriya anyway. What are you saying in the Mishnah? Okay, it's not a Chacham, but it's a normal from a Yid, yeah? But then the Allah is, everybody still has to tear Kriya. Why? The Tanya, because it says in the Braisa like this. Why do people, sons and daughters, die when they're young? That they should weep. That they should cry. Because they should mourn for a kosher. The Gemara is in the middle. The Gemara is not clear yet exactly what the Braisa says. It says like this. The Torah says, Ish bechata yumas. Each man dies for their own sins. It says in Chumash, Lo yumsu avis abanim. Ubanim lo yumsu alavis. Sons don't die for fathers. Fathers don't die for sons. Ish bechata yumas. Each man dies for their own sins. Okay? Nevertheless, the Braisa says, and this is brought down in Halacha, that's only for adult kids over Bar Bas Mitzvah. Little kids sometimes can die for father's sins because they're not on their own yet, so they're like the possessions of the father. Okay? So it says in the statement that why do people's children die when they're young? In order that they should mourn over a kosher person. So right away the Gemara says, Yivka v'yisabel, he should weep, will weep and mourn. You take security from him that he ensured that he mourns for the future. Now the Gemara thought now, the way the Gemara is learning the Braisa, the Gemara thought that the Braisa means like this. In order to teach a person to mourn when later in life somebody kosher dies, we're going to kill your kids now. So the Gemara said, what, are you taking security now that he should cry later? That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean in the future. The Gemara is saying, explaining the Braisa, that the Braisa is saying, why does a person's children die? Because they didn't mourn on an Adam Kasher. What do you see from this Braisa? That you have to mourn on a kosher person. And he says, the Gemara says, continues the Braisa, Shakol Abeicho Misabel Aladim Kosher, whoever cries and mourns over a kosher person that passes away, Meichlin Le'akol Aveinesa. Hashem forgives you all your sins. B'shvil Kaved Sha'asal, because of the respect that they paid to that person. So what do you see from this Gemara? You see from this Braisa that even in Adam Kosher you have to mourn for and tear Kriya. So the Gemara is asking, what does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah says only relatives. So first the Gemara asked the question, but if it's a Chacham, everybody's a relative. So the Gemara says, okay, he's not a Chacham. So we said, okay, but if he's a kosher person, then everybody has to mourn for him. Right? So the Gemara answers, you know what? The Lav Adam Kosher. He's not a kosher person. But you're right, the Gemara says. If a kosher person dies chol hamoed, everybody can tear kriya. If a chacham dies, everybody can tear kriya. That's why the Gemara is learning.
Can or must?
Must.
What's a kosher person?
Religious person, even if he's not a scholar. One second. So the Gemara asks another question. Okay, you said it's not a kosher person. Okay, fine. So the Gemara asks like this: Either kahasim b'shas yitzias neshama, but if somebody was standing there in the room when somebody died, chayev v'mechayev, he's obligated to tear kriya anyway. So if somebody died chol hamoed and somebody was in the room, even if they're not a relative, they have to tear kriya. Why? The Tanya, because we learned Rav Shimon ben Elazar Eimer. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Ha'emer al meis b'shas yitzias neshama, if somebody stands by a dead person, when the person passes away, chayiv l'kriya, you have to tear kriya. Why? What is this similar to? The sefer Torah shenisa, the God forbid if somebody sees a sefer Torah burnt, shechayiv l'kriya, you have to tear your garments. Okay? Later on, the Gemara is going to learn that when, God forbid, if somebody sees a sefer Torah burns, you have to tear your garments. Now, a Jew is a sefer Torah. You know, a Jew is a living sefer Torah. The 2 feet are the Yitzchayim, you know. But a Jew is a sefer Torah. If that's the case, then when any Jew dies, Rav Shimon Elazar says, if you're standing in the room, then it's like seeing a sefer Torah, God forbid, burn. So you have to tear kriya. So the Gemara asks another question. How can you say in the Mishnah you only tear kriya on for a relative? But it's not true. Whoever's in the room, even Chol HaMoed would have to tear kriya. So Gemara says, okay. The like koy also b'shas yitzias neshama. Speaker guy wasn't there b'shas yitzias neshama. So therefore, the way the Gemara is learning the Mishnah now, it's a very strange way, because the Mishnah says, and again we're learning the Mishnah that with the Mishnah speaking about Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says on Chol HaMoed only relatives tear kriya. Okay. So the Gemara asks the question, what do you mean? But a chacham, you have to tear kriya? Okay, the Mishnah is not a chacham. Adam kasher, you have to tear kriya? It's not an Adam kasher. A guy who was by there at the time of death? Yeah? He's not there at the time of death. So the Gemara is saying, how is the Mishnah speaking? A person who's not so good dies, and so who tears kriya? Only relatives. The Pearl and Aloha today, the Aloha is different than all this. The minig in Yerushalayim is that only children tear kriya for parents on Chol HaMoed. Everybody, all the other relatives tear after Chol HaMoed. That's the halacha. And the custom is today, even though halacha says that when somebody is in a room and somebody passes away, they have to tear their clothing. But like we learned, and this is what the poskim write, and nowadays we don't do that, because if we do that, nobody will be in the room when somebody dies. Who's going to want to ruin their garment? Right, so they would run out of the room, and it's a big thing to have somebody present when a neshama leaves the body. It's a very big schus to have somebody in the room when the neshama leaves the body. So in order to facilitate that, the paskin today, you don't have to tear your clothing.
But you could. Or you should not.
You could. The minig is not.
Is a schus for a person who's dying to have somebody with him and not to be alone?
Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara's conclusion, so far, so to speak, is, if it's not a chacham, and it's not an adam kasher, and you weren't there at the time of the funeral, that's when the Mishnah says, only relatives tear kriya, nobody else. What? Minig Yerushalayim, that's the minig to hear b'cha. No. Yeah. No. If a Jew dies, what they, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have a minion in the room, it's even better. Yeah, I'm not saying it. What's it? We're talking about. Okay. Now the Gemara tells a bunch of stories. It's very interesting. The next whole blot of Gemara tells about Talmidei Chacham that died, and what happened when they died, and the funerals and the eulogies, and who tore and who didn't tear, and it's very interesting. Gemara says like this: Kinoch nafshid Rav Safra, when Rav Safra passed away, okay, lay kodeh rabbanah lay. The rabbanah didn't tear the garments. They didn't tear the garments, which contradicts the din that we learned before that if a chacham dies, you have to tear your garments. Amine, they said. They said, why didn't we tear our garments? We never learned anything from him. He wasn't our teacher. And because he wasn't our teacher, because the Gemara thought, these rabbis thought, that when the Mishnah says a chacham shemeis, is only a chacham that you learned by. Not a stam a chacham that you know, you had nothing to do with. Amlo Abaya, so Abaya said to these people, what are you talking about? Mi Tanya Harav Shemes. It doesn't say in the Mish, in the Brais, a Rav that died. Rav means a teacher, so then they're students. What does it say? Chacham Shemes. A Chacham. A Chacham doesn't mean he taught you. A Chacham means a scholar. If he's a scholar, he's a scholar. What's the difference if you learn by him? The Eid. And another thing, Abaya said to them, I want you to know, Kol Yema, Shmaitze Bepume Be Medrasha. Every day his teachings, that Safi's teachings are mentioned in the Beis Medrash. What do you mean you didn't learn from him? Every day they taught Rav Safi's teachings, so you did learn from him. Maybe not physically, but you learned his teachings, so he is your Rebbe. See, Rabbi said to them, so why don't you should have torn. So, Savar, so the people thought, okay, listen, it's too late, so they didn't tear, so they don't have to tear. Amelo Abaye, Abaye said, no, you still have to tear. Tanina, we learned. Chacham, concerning a Chacham, calls Mansha Eiskim Behesped Chayavim Lekriya. As long as they're still eulogizing him, you have to tear Kriya. So they said, Abaye said to them, you guys think it's too late. Because he died already, you know, and you heard about it, and you didn't tear right away. Abaye says, it's not true by a Chacham. As long as they're eulogizing him, it's like he's dying. And therefore, you have to do it.
Then you say, when we study something that he's said, it's also like he's dying now, a couple of days ago, when we studied. When someone's teaching.
No, when you quote somebody who died, they're talking in the grave. So, what do they think? Savas, so the people thought, okay, lemikra l'alter, we're going to tear right now. And it was between eulogies. Obviously, Abaye doesn't speak in the middle of speeches. So Abaye is talking to them in between the speeches. So, Rav Safi died, okay, and then eulogies are going on, and they didn't tear Kriya. So Abaye said, why didn't tear Kriya? He said, because we didn't learn by him. So he said, what do you mean? First of all, you did, and secondly, he's a Chacham. So they said, okay, it's too late. So Abaye said, it's too late. They're still eulogizing him. It's not too late. So they said, okay, you know what? We'll tear right now. Amal Abaye, Abaye said, no. Tanya, Chacham Kvedei Behespedei. When are you supposed to tear Kriya? During the eulogy. Because that's the respect of the... Because during the eulogy you get emotional about the greatness of the sage. So that's the respectful time to tear Kriya.
Does that say bracha?
No. They don't. Only by a nasi, I mean by regular people not. I mean, you do say baruch dynamis. You know, when you hear somebody passed away... You say Baruch Dynamis.
Well, at the burial, isn't there a bracha they say and then they cut... And then
that's the relatives. But that's what the bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dynamis. But really, the Gemara says, anytime you hear bad news, you're supposed to say that bracha. But why do we say Baruch Dynamis? Because it's without Shem and Malchus. You leave it as Shem and Melech Olam. So you say Baruch Dynamis. Only relatives say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Why? Because the question is, are you really sad? That's the, you know, in today's world, the guy died. Okay, so he died, you know, as long as it wasn't me. You know, people don't care that much anymore. Also, not. Okay, so therefore, Abaye told them off that they still have to tear Kriya, but not between eulogies, during the eulogy. Then the Gemara tells another story. Kinoch nafshid Rav Huna, when Rav Huna passed away, Sover le suve sefer Torah purayu. They wanted to put a Sefer Torah on his coffin. They didn't have coffins. There was like a bier. It was like a stretcher. Huh? So they wanted to put a Sefer Torah on top of him. Why? Because the Gemara tells the story when Chizkiah Melech died, they placed a Torah scroll on his bed, and they said the deceased fulfilled what it says here. Similar to what it says in Chumash, that Arayna Shal Yosef was going next to the Arden of the Luluchas. So he said, what's the connection between these two boxes? And they said, this one kept what it says in this. So when Chizkiah Melech died, the Pasuk says he took a Sefer Torah and he put it on his coffin to show, you know, that he kept this. So they're thinking of doing it to Rav Huna. Amalo Rav Chista, so Rav Chista said to the Talmidim, whatever, Milsa de Bechayeli Svirulei, something that Rav Huna didn't maintain and hold of when he was alive. Hashalekum level, now you want to do it. In other words, Rav Huna doesn't like this idea of putting Sefer Torah in a coffin. So if Rav Huna himself said you're not allowed to do it, when he dies, you want to put a Sefer Torah in his coffin? He holds you're not allowed to. Why? The Amr of Tachlifa, Tachlifa said, I saw myself Rav Huna, the boy, the mace of Apurayu. He wanted to sit down on his bed. Rav Huna once wanted to sit down on his bed. And there was a Sefer Torah resting on the bed. What did he do? He didn't sit down on the bed. What did he do? Kav kada ada. He turned, before he sat down on the bed, he turned over a jug, and he put the Sefer Torah on the jug, and then he sat down on the bed. Now, he didn't want to sit down on the same bed with a Sefer Torah, because he held it was disrespectful. The ace of Sefer Torah alayu, and then he put the Sefer Torah on the jug, you know, on the, he made it like a little table, and then he sat down on the bed. So the Gemara says, Alma Kosovar, so from here we see that also that Rav Huna holds, also le sheval gabi mit shaset to Sefer Torah munacholov, that you're not allowed to sit on a bed where there's a Sefer Torah. Because they bring down over here, the Gemara Menachos says, Rabbi Yechanan says, you are allowed to sit on the bed with the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yechon argues on Rav Huna in Menachos. Rabbi Yechon and Old, you're allowed to sit down on the bed even though there's a Sefer Torah there. Rav Huna says you're not allowed to. And Aloch is like Rav Huna, we know you're not allowed to sit down on the same bed with a Sefer, not even a Sefer Torah, a Sefer. So Rav Chista said to the people, listen, Rav Huna had an ultimate respect for a Sefer Torah. So if Rav Huna holds he can't sit on a bed next to a Sefer Torah, he's going to hold he can't put a bed on a coffin.
Torah.
I mean, a Torah and a coffin. So therefore, Rav Chista said, how could you do something to Rav Huna when he died? Something he was against when he was alive. You can't do it. He was against putting a Sefer Torah in a coffin, obviously. So you can't put a Sefer Torah in his own coffin, that's for sure.
No.
Huh?
No.
What no?
So what's the story?
So what happened? Le'av enafik puri mibav. Now, there was a problem with the coffin. The coffin couldn't fit through the door of the house. It could, for whatever reason, the coffin was too big. Okay, it couldn't go through the door. So they were thinking, okay, you know what? We'll take it through the roof with rope, and then we'll lower it down. You know, they'll pick it up through the skylight, and then carry it over the house, and then they'll put it down. Amar Rav Chista said, Hagamrina mine I myself learned from Rav Huna, Chacham kvede derech Pesach, that the proper way of taking out a Chacham is through the door. That's the respect. So Rav Huna himself says a Chacham has to go through the door, so you can take him through the roof. So they thought, okay, you know what? We'll change coffins. We'll get a smaller, a narrower coffin that we can go through the door. Amar lo Rav Chista said, no, you can't do that. This is what I learned from Rav Huna. Chacham kvede memita rishena. It has to be in the first coffin. Why?
The coffin is their
bed
because it's mita.
It's mita, they didn't have coffins in the olden times. We'll soon see that they carried him to Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, it had to be in the type of a coffin. See, the Gemara's not done with the story yet. But the bottom line over here is that Rav Huna, Rav Chista said in the name of Rav Huna that the coffin has to be made for him. Okay, it has to be made for him. So therefore, Rav Chista said you can't change coffins because the proper covered is the first coffin. You can't take him through the roof because the thing is through the door. So, and he says, what's the source of this? That Amar of Yud Amar Av. That the respect of the Chacham is taken out in the original coffin, because it says in the Torah, they carry the Arin of Hashem. This is when they were transporting the Arin to the Beis Hamikdash and to Uzaz, the whole thing over there.
Chevron, right?
Yeah, so it says, they wrote on the Arin Alekim, El Agol HaChadosha, on a new wagon. And then it says,
take him out of the house?
Yes. So it says, though, Agola Chadasha, what the Gemara means over here is, Agola Chadasha means, is it Rashi over here? Yeah. It means not a new wagon, but the wagon which was made for him, for it. So the Gemara says basically, even though it was many years later,
original.
They carried the Aron of the Luchis on the original wagon they made for it. So from there you see in the Gemara says, that just like an Aron Kedesh, you can't change coffins, you can't change wagons. You need this first initial wagon which was made explicitly for it. So the same thing, Yochacham is the same thing. So you can't change coffins. So they had a problem what to do. They couldn't go through the door, they couldn't go through the roof, they couldn't change coffins. What did they do? The Gemara says, what they did is, part is Bavarafku. They had no choice, they widened the doorway. And then they carried him out. Okay? So this is how they got Rav Huna out of the house. Then the Gemara says like this. Pasachala Rababa, the Baba started eulogizing Rav Huna. And he said, Roy Olav Rabbeinu, that Rabbeinu meaning Rav Huna was fit, Shetirsha Olav Shechina, that the Shechina should rest upon him. But, Ella, Shebavel Garmala, the fact that he lived in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael, the Shechina only rests on people in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the way they eulogized him, that really, he was fit for the Shechina to rest. Nabach, he lived in Bavel, so he couldn't. But his personality, his greatness was that the Shechina should rest. Masiv Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman bar Chista asks a question. I will show you from a pasuk that the Shechina rested on somebody outside of Eretz Yisrael. It says, "Hoye Dvar Hashem al Yecheskel ben Buzi Akein Beretz Kazdim." This is the after of the first day Shavuos. You know, the Merkava, the throne that Yecheskel Navi saw. So it says it was the word of Hashem to Yecheskel ben Buzi Akein, who is in the land of Kazdim. Now Kazdim is not Eretz Yisrael, and yet the pasuk says the word of God was to him. That means Hashem could, the Shechina could be even in the outside of Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? So in other words, like this. This is the middle of a eulogy. It's very interesting the way these rabbis used to work. One person, Rabbi is eulogizing Rav Huna, and he says, this person was fit that the Shechina should rest on him, but he lived in Bavel. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista says, hey, doesn't know what he's talking about, because the Shechina rested outside. So what happened? This was Rav Nachman ben Rav Chista. Rav Chista hit his kid with a sandal, or one opinion is he hit him with a sandal, another opinion is he kicked his foot, and he said, didn't I tell you, don't disturb people? It doesn't mean that it was at that time. It was when Yecheskel was in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Yecheskel was in Eretz Yisrael, and then he went to Kazdim. And this Nevuah was when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. You're bringing a proof from a pasuk that there's Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael from Yecheskel ben Buzi. It doesn't say Hashem spoke to him now. It says it was the word of Hashem to Yecheskel, which means when he was in Eretz Yisrael, the Shechina rested upon him. But now, how do you know the Shechina rests? So what are you hacking a chaynik that Rababa made a mistake? He didn't make a mistake, he's right. I told you, don't hack a chaynik.
He rested on Abbas, the outside Israel, a lot of times. We had Daniel, Israel.
Yeah. You have a lot of places. There are different levels of Shechina Sheira, though. The Shechina and Nevuah, and I don't know. Here some of Farshim learn what it means is, once he had it in Eretz Yisrael, the Shechina continued, but not somebody who never was in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, anyway, the Gemara says like this. Kasuka Lahasham, when they brought up Rav Huna to Eretz Yisrael, and they buried Rav Huna in Eretz Yisrael, you have to understand, those were long journeys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was by foot, by camel, basically. Yeah, it could take a very long time. But the Gemara continues the Rav Huna funeral saga. Ki askul ha'asom, when they brought him up to Eretz Yisrael, Amr le Rabami v'le Rabasi, so Rabami and Rabbi Asi were then in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So they said to him, to them, Rav Huna asa, Rav Huna arrived. But they didn't tell him the coffin arrived. They thought Rav Huna living, the living version of Rav Huna came. So they said, Amra, they said, Kiavina Hasam, where we're in Bavel, Lo Havalon, Lo Dluya Reshim, and they were unable to raise their heads because of Rav Huna's greatness. Hashda Sina Acha, Asim Basran, he follows us. Meaning like this. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were the leaders in Eretz Yisrael. So they said, when first Rav Ami and Rav Asi were in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel. That's right. There they were called Rav Ami and Rav Asi. If you look many times in the Gemara, it's Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Because when they lived in Bavel, they were called Rav. Once they went to Eretz Yisrael, they were called Rebbe. So that's the difference between, in Bavel they were called Rav, and in Eretz Yisrael they were called Rebbe. Therefore that's the rule. Anytime you see in the Gemara Rebbe, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. Anytime it says Rav, they were lived in Bavel. So he said, when Rav Huna, we were subservient to Rav Huna, yeah? But he said, we should follow him now. In other words, we're now the leaders in Eretz Yisrael. They said, well, we should go, you know, run after Rav Huna. What do you want from us? Amru Leis, said he said to him, no, Arayne Ba. The coffin came. So then they said, oh, that's a different story. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Nofik. So Rabbi Ami and Abasi went to escort him to the burial place. Rabbi Ila and Rabbi Chanina lo nafik, and Rabbi Chanina, Ila and Rabbi Chanina didn't go out for the funeral. Why? The Amri, because he said, I'm sorry, Igadami, some people say, I skipped a line, Igadami, some people say, Rabbi Ila nafik and Rabbi Chanina lo nafik. They're not both didn't go out, one did and one didn't. So they explain like this. The Nafik, my time, why did one of them go out to Rav Huna's funeral? The Cheder, they never learned by him. In other words, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, we understand why they went, because they learned. They were his students in Bavel, right? So now they're rabbis, being buried. Now it's all they went out to the fight. But now the Gemara says there was Rab Eila and Rab Chanina. One went, one didn't go to the funeral. So he said, the Nafik, my time, why did they go? See, it says like this. Because it says in the Braisa, Adin ha'evim mimakim l'makim, any coffin that goes from place to place, ain't the mal of b'shura, you're required to stand in a line when the coffin goes out. Ve'emin olav birchus ha'velim, you say the mourner's blessing. Tanchumi ha'velim, you say yom makim minachim. So they said, what do you mean why we went out? Because it's a din, that if a coffin passes by, you have to go out. Ma'udu lay nafik, the one that didn't go out, why didn't they go out? There's a braisa that says you have to go out. He said, because there's a braisa that says you don't have to go out. The Tanya, because in another braisa it says, Adana Eva Mimakim Lamakim, a coffin is going from place to place. Ain't aim the mal of Bashuri, you don't have to stand in a line. And you don't do these things. Says Mam, the Gemara says, Kashin Adadi, it's a contradiction. One braisa says you have to go out. And one Braisa says you don't have to go out. So the rabbis that went out to the funeral said, well, the Braisa says you have to go out. The rabbis that didn't go out to the Levaya said, well, the Braisa says you don't have to go out. Right? But the Gemara says, but Kasha, I thought it is a contradiction though. So the Gemara answers like this, like Kasha. Kansha shilde kayamis, kansha ain't shilde kayamis. When the skeleton is intact, you have to go out. If the skeleton is not intact, you don't have to go out. Okay, now, Rav Huna showed the kayamis, but the Gemara asks. But Rav Huna, the Gemara says, showed the kayamis. Rav Huna, though the skeleton was intact, so then they would have to go out. So why didn't the rabbi go out? So Gemara said, the leinafik was leisaimo kame. They didn't give him the right information. They didn't tell him that the skeleton is still intact. He thought the skeleton was also messed up, so that's why he didn't go out.
Halacha is even if you're learning, you should get out of stuff.
Huh?
Halacha is even if you're learning Torah, you should
go out. Halacha is today, you have to go out, yeah. The halacha today is that you have to go out.
So the rule that the rabbis in Israel have higher status than outside, is that still today?
Yeah. I don't think.
Yerushalayim.
Oh? It's how you commit in Israel. But nowadays it's a whole, it's not the same concept in Allah. Okay, so now there's another dilemma. Ravuna's funeral is not over yet. The Pearl, they bring Ravuna to Israel. They carry him out, they break down the door, they carry him to Israel. The people went out. According to Allah, everybody was supposed to go out except they were misinformed. They thought the skeleton wasn't intact, so they didn't go out. But the Pearl now came to show where to bury him. Where should they bury Rav Huna? Amris, so now the sages of Eretz Yisrael said, where should we bury him? There would be a nice, respectful place to be. Because you're not allowed to bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik. So therefore, you need a... an equal to Rav Huna, you know, to bury him next to him. So the Gemara said like this: Rav Huna ribitz Torah b'Yisrael. Rav Huna disseminated Torah publicly, and Rabbi Chayichia taught Torah proper, disseminated Torah to the masses. So therefore, the Gemara says, let's put Rav Huna next to Rabbi Chayichia. Okay, Taisus over here asks a very simple question. That in Yerushalmi it says Rav Huna died before Rav Chiya. Tosfos says in Yerushalmi the implication is here they said where should we bury Rav Huna? Next to Rav Chiya. But in Yerushalmi the implication is that Rav Chiya died after Rav Huna.
Maybe he doesn't
live in Israel. No. We'll soon see in the story that he was there.
Maybe he died later, but he was buried earlier. Meaning the travel time for Babel.
You know, I would tell you something. It's not a bad answer, by the way. I was thinking this answer. No, he says that Rabbi Chiya lived in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe Rav Huna died before Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya was buried first because of the. No, it's a very good point.
Time.
Yeah. Taisa's answer is it was two Rav Hunas. No. When I was saying the thing, I said, 1 minute, maybe. But from the Yerushalmi, that's not what it implies, because
the son of Rav Huna was called also Rav Huna.
No, yeah. Because over there, Tosfos says in the Yerushalmi, it says they told Rav Chiya that Rav Huna's coffin is here. That means when Rav Huna's coffin got,
he was still alive.
So your answer is not going to be.
Accepted by the
Yerushalmi. Right. Well, that's the whole question, Nisha.
The gravesite that he had designated before he died.
No. We'll see. I'm telling you, you see in the Gemara that he was taken buried. So the Gemara said like this: Man Ayil, who is great enough to go into Rav Chiya's grave to bring Rav Huna, and he brings down over here. Here. So what? Why? Because they bring down, surprise Rashi doesn't say it, because it says there was, in Bava Metzia, there was an account about a sage who was harmed through a similar incident with Rav Chiya. In other words, by burying Rav Huna next to Rav Chiya, you're disturbing Rav Chiya. I mean, anyway, you look at it, you know, it's commotion in the grave, people have to step on the grave, whatever, there's a bunch of things going on. Everybody was afraid to go into Rav Chiya's grave. Because something happened in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, there was a similar incident, and people were harmed by it.
Going into the grave, it was a cave?
It was a cave. They used to bury in crypts. In caves, they actually
crave.
Yeah. So, what happened? Amalu Rav Chaga, so Rav Chaga came, and he said, you know what, I'll go into his crypt. I'm not afraid of Rav Chiya. Why? To come to the Talmud, because I established a throw knowledge of the Talmud. When I was only 18, plus lechazale kere, I never had a seminal emission to make me tamei. Or meshamale kamei, and I was Rav Chiya's attendant during his lifetime. Okay, v'yad de beuvden, I know his pious deeds. And Rav Chaga said, "Listen, I'm fit to go, because number one, I knew the entire learning by heart at 18. I never became impure. I served Rav Chiya, so we had like a special relationship. And I know Rav Chiya was very great. Why? The Yom Echad, one day, his hafich later to the tefillin. The tefillin turned over, the strap of the tefillin turned over. Rav Chiya fasted 40 tainis. In tainis, Al Rebbe brings it down interesting, Rav Huna fasted 40 fasts. Okay? But here, the Gemara says in the quote over here also, in but Metzia, there are other cases that also different Tanoim and Amiroim fasted. What happened was like this, you know, the tefillin have to be black on the outside. So it says, if the tefillin turned over, right? It says, Peter, you don't have to fast. If you want to be a holy person, fast a day, give to Draka, but that's it. Rav Chiya fasted 40 years. I mean, 40 days, sorry, 40 days. So this person says, listen, I know Rav Chiya, I dealt with him, let me go in. So what happened? Aile, Rav Chaga brought Rav Huna's coffin into the grave. Havagaga Yehuda, Minei Davor, Yehuda, the oldest son of Rav Chiya, was buried on the right. V'chizki Mismol and Chizki was on the left. Now you got a problem over here. There's a father grave in the middle with two dead sons, the oldest son on his right and the youngest son on the left. Now they have to stick Rav Huna next to Rav Chiya. That means somebody got to get out. One of the two kids got to move the dead graves. You have to understand. Amale Yehuda l'Chizki. So Yehuda said to Chizki, Kumi duchtech, get up, move. Because Yehuda was the older one. Yehuda said to the younger one, get up. The lav urcha added the koim Rav Huna. It's not respected. Rav Huna should stand and wait to be buried.
Is
the
dead people talking?
How do I know this?
One second. Bahadu the koim, as Chizki rose to leave his grave, Chazi Rav Chaga saw, no, I mean, come, Bahadu Amudu the Gura. A fire rose with Rav Chiya's son, Chizki, when he got out of his grave to make room for Rav Huna. A pillar of fire came. Rav Chaga saw this pillar of fire coming. Zakvela Naina, hey boys, he became scared. Can you imagine when all of a sudden you see a pillar of fire with a guy moving in a coffin? Zakvela Naina, so he picked up Rav Huna's coffin to shield him. Venafik Vaasa, and he ran out. And he got petrified from the grave. So the Gemara says, why didn't he get harmed by the fire? Because he raised Rav Huna's coffin. Meaning, the fact that he buried Rav Huna saved him from punishment.
One second.
Let's understand this Gemara. Alright, let's not understand the Gemara. Either way. So he says like this. The bottom, he brings out Me'idi, interprets this whole thing allegorically. Okay? That means that
they want it?
Huh?
They want it?
No, it means is they're thinking of taking out Chizki's grave. You know, there's not in a, that one dead person said to another person, hey, you, kid brother, you get out and let Rav Huna come in. They were thinking of taking out Chizki to make room for Rav Huna. And the pearl, it didn't happen.
But anyway, in the old days, it wasn't that easy to move, because there's no coffin to pick up the coffin and move.
Right.
So they had to move the bones.
Anyway, the bottom line is, they left Rav Huna in that room, in the cave, and he ran out.
It was called kosher burying, just leaving him?
Man, pikuach nefesh, he gotta get out of there. It's pretty scary.
Pretty holy place.
They say also, that, I mean, this is what I heard, I don't know if it's true, but when I was a kid, they said that, you know, Marsa Machpelah today is not the actual grave. The actual graves are much further down. They tell stories about tzaddikim that went down there, and one of them got slapped by a malach, when you get too close to the Marsa Machpelah. I mean, you're talking about things beyond, totally beyond our comprehension.
So what about that grave site?
How did he get buried?
I don't know. It just says, he shielded himself and he ran out. I don't know what happened. It doesn't say what happened to Rav Huna's coffin.
Okay.
fasting 40 days means days and not nights, or
no days, days. No, that showed the schus of Reb Chiya. See, he brings on over here. This symbolizes, what do you mean the pillar of fire came down? This symbolizes that although the sages ordained this interment, they did so extraordinary difficulty in fear of being punished by the flame of the disturbed sages' merits. Bechal is an interesting din, which the Mefarshim, also the Me'idi, discusses. Normally, when you take, if somebody moves a grave, he moves a body, nobody else is allowed to be buried in that grave. The person acquires the grave. So like even when, you know, people are buried here and then they move into Eretz Yisrael or to family plots or whatever, in case of when you're allowed to do it, the bottom line is that grave that the person was buried in, nobody else is allowed to use. You can't resell it or have somebody else use it. So they ask, how could you bury Rav Huna in Chizkiah's grave, Rav Chiya's son? They're right, because Rav Huna was so great, you know, whatever.
What are these double-decker graves that they bury one all the way down, another on top?
Yeah, but there's a separation. They do it all over at its role.
Right.
It's done all over at its role today.
You know, like two floors, three stories? Or
yeah. But you need a certain amount of space between the two graves. Double-deckers, triple-deckers. Then the Gemara says another thing. Kinach nafshi d'Rav Chista, a similar story, but not so long. When Rav Chista passed away, if a person wants to be buried in a family plot, a person wants to, whatever, there's reasons. Do you know that time cemeteries make mistakes? I had that not long ago. Cemetery made a mistake. They sold a person a grave that wasn't theirs, somebody else's. So you have to move the best. Yeah, there's a lot of issues, you know.
You
need a very, very good reason. You need a very, very good reason. If somebody's buried on the condition that they want to be eventually buried in Eretz Yisrael, or somebody is buried in a certain city, right? Then the whole family moves to a different city, and they have burial plots in the other city, and this guy's all alone. So is it then moving to a family plot? I mean, it's not so simple. There's Kri and there's Shiva. I mean, they Shiva. I mean, there's a lot of complications with it. You don't just do it.
But you said before that if someone was buried and you moved, no, you cannot resell it. So let's say this buried ground belongs to someone that bought it, and he's waiting to be buried with his wife there.
It's not so simple. It's a big shaila, that whole story. So Gemara says like this: Kinoch nafshi d'Rav Chista. When Rav Chista died, Savela Suvi Sefer Torah Purayu. Again, they wanted to put a Sefer Torah Gravuna. They wanted to put a Sefer Torah on this thing. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok said, Milsa the Rabbi Leisvirulei. Some Rav Chista's teacher, who was Rav Huna, didn't agree with. And now Nekem Nava that we should do it to him. But remember, when they wanted to do it to Rav Huna, Rav Chista said Rav Huna didn't like the idea. Right. So now you're going to do it to Rav Chista. Then the Gemara says, "Savad le mishal kadayu." After Rav Chista's funeral, when they tore their clothing, they thought not to refix it, you know, to sew it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Ami. It says, "Chacham kiven shechziru pnei machori amita." When it comes to a teacher, once they moved away from the coffin, Sherlin, you're allowed to fix the tear, meaning they can fix it properly the next day. Okay. So he said they thought not to do it. He said you'd be allowed to do it. Now the Gemara says another story. The Gemara says like this: Kinoch nafshid Rabbi Baruchon of Rav Amnunim. This is also, these stories are unbelievable. When the Rabbi Baruchon of Rav Amnunim passed away, it seemed they passed away the same time. Askin Olahosim, they took them both up to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. Okay. But they were going side by side. Okay? When they came to a bridge, a narrow bridge, that you can only walk one at a time. So now the question, which coffin goes first? Who is greater, Rav Amnuna or Rabbi Bar Avuna or Rav Amnuna? So call Gamler. The camels, but it's interesting. The camels stopped on their own. They're waiting for Psak Halacha, who should go first. The camel stopped. Yeah. Amalahu Aitaya, so this Arab merchant who owned the camels and was leading them, he says, "My high, what's the why the camel stopped?" Amalei Rabbanan the Ka'abdi Yukana Dadadi. The two rabbis are fighting, the dead rabbis are fighting, the other one should go first. So Mar Ahmad, the other one said, Mar Nail Bereshit, meaning Rav Amnuna said, Rabbi Bar Huna should go first, and Rabbi Bar Huna said, Rav Amnuna should go first. So both camels were waiting. Amr, so the Arab said, I'll tell you what the halach is. Dinahu, the Rabbi Bar Huna Leo Bereshit. Rabbi Bar Huna, his coffin should go first.
How's it
on? 1 minute. Why? So he says, because Rabbi Bar Huna, he said he was great and his father was great. There we had the seichel. He says, the other one, Rabbi Amnuna, he was great, his father wasn't. But Rabbi Bar Huna is great, the son of great. So he said he should go first. So what happened? Cholav Gamlo Rabbi Bar Huna. So the camel went first, Taka. They listened to the Psak Halacha there. But, the Gemara says, Nase Bave Veshine Dutaya. The Arabs' molars and teeth fell out as a punishment.
For passing Halacha?
No. For sliding Rav Amnuna.
Against Rav Amnuna.
So why did they agree with the Arab?
So 1 minute. So they say,
don't come in the judgment.
So the Mefarshim, he brings out the bottom, a whole long thing. The Mefarshim has a very simple question. The Arab is right. Think about it. A scholar, the son of a scholar, comes before a scholar. No? So they say, the Mashal explains that a great father is very great, but the main thing is learning, the person's self. So another explanation by the Arabs, Gavra bar Gavra, another explanation says, why was he punished? Because he said, a guy, the son of a guy. He didn't say a great guy next to the son of a great person. He said a person, why was the Arab punished? Because he didn't say a great person, the son of a great person. He said a person, the son of a person. And that's why he was punished. But I'll tell you something, this Arab must have been a holy guy. I mean, the camels listened to him. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Maybe he knew them. He worked for them, maybe. Maybe he knew
them. I don't know. Okay. Ah.